for all, just thank you, Lord, for just being you. Just being you. Hallelujah. We're so grateful. And now, Father, as I minister your word tonight, Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and a heart to receive your word. Because we know that your word will never, ever return unto you void. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. So I thank you, Father, and I thank you now for your anointing that you've placed upon me, the calling upon my life to minister this word. And I'm resting in that right now. And dear Lord, we're going to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, for the past couple of weeks, I've been ministering to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I have the New King James Version of the Bible here with me. So let me read verse 20 to you. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Now we've talked about the fact that we are crucified with Christ. Amen. And if you want to hear those again, you can just go to YouTube and flip back to April 22nd and April 29th. So I won't go through all that again. But the word of God says in Galatians 2:20 that we're crucified with Christ. Amen. We're no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. And the second thing it tells us is that it is no longer us who live. It's no longer us who live. I'm so glad to know that I have a new kind of life. I have a brand new life in Christ Jesus. The old man, the old James, have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And I think we also talked about the fact that Christ lives in us. That's number three. Christ lives in us. He lives in me. And my body is the temple. My body is his temple, and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. If you were born again out there, why don't you just say this? Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, we got to be mindful of that. We cannot lose sight of that. We need to be mindful of the fact that God is always present with us and God is always present in us. If you're born again, he's always present in you. He lives in you. Praise God. Your body is his temple. Praise God. Now here's the thing. I don't think I touched on this. I want to touch on this with you tonight. Not only does he live on the inside of us, but he also lives through us. As believers, he lives through us. He lives in us, and he lives through us. Now, I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Verse 20 says, now then, we, say that's me. We, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We, if you're born again, you are one of Christ's ambassadors. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to read, to help you understand it a little bit better, I want to read the same verse from two other versions of the Bible that I believe will help you understand this verse a little better. In the New Living Translation, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, New Living Translation, it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read another translation, the Passion Translation. It reads like this. This is verse 20. "We are ambassadors of the Anointed One, who carry the message of Christ to the world. As though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips, so we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf, turn back to God and be reconciled to him." Praise God, hallelujah. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us, but not only does he dwell on the inside of us, he also worked through us that he may speak to a lost world through our lips and by our actions that are directed by the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord used Reverend Billy Graham one day back in 1969 on television. It was one of his televised crusades. He ministered the word of God, and I was a young teenager, didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was not born again. But God used that man to bring me to the Lord Jesus Christ. He used him to bring me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched his program. To be honest, you know, I was a teenager at the time, and I had a lot of favorite shows that I liked to watch. And so, but what would happen whenever a Billy Graham crusade come on, you know, the other shows wouldn't come on. They would have his crusades in the place of it. And so sometimes I would get upset because I want, you know, I'm missing my favorite program. And so a lot of times what I'd do is turn the TV off and I'd go outside and play or do something, you know, and until he had gone off the air, and then I would come back in and continue to watch my TV program. Well, on this day, I know it was the Lord. I decided to watch this guy. I'm going to watch this guy. I'm going to see what this is all about. Why does he keep coming on anyway? Well, guess what? I watched him, and I was glued to the television. And God began to deal with my heart. And I knew that I needed the Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I watched the program from beginning to end. And I was at home by myself. I was at home alone at that particular time. And when the program went off the air, I went in my bedroom, knelt down by my bed, and invited Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And you know something? I knew that I was born again. I knew that I was born again. First of all, he broke the gospel down into bite-sized pieces where I could understand it, where I could chew on it. In other words, you might say he gave me milk, the milk of the word. The milk of the word. And I could understand it, and I could digest that. And when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive my sins and save me, there was nobody there but me. When I got up off my knees, I knew that I was born again. There's nobody that could have talked me out of it. I knew that I was born again, and it changed my life. Guess what happened? God used that man as an ambassador to communicate his love to me. Guess what? God wants to do the same thing with you. He's using us today. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are his spokesman. Glory to God. That's the reason. One of the reasons, not the only reason, that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He will lead us and guide us. And so if there's someone that needs help, he can speak to us and says, I need you to go over here. I want you to go here. I want you to go there. I want you to speak to this person. We're temples of God to be led by him, to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Praise God. I'm saved today because God used a person that was being led by the Holy Spirit to speak into my life. And it changed my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are, grab a hold of that. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And I want to exhort you this evening to be a good ambassador. You be a good ambassador. An ambassador is a representative. You know, this here in America, United States of America, there are ambassadors that go to other countries and they represent this nation. They speak for this nation. They speak for the president. But guess what? We're to go out into the world and speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These ambassadors, when they go to other countries, they have their instructions. They know what they're to do and what they're not to do. They know what to say and not to say. Guess what? The same applies with us as believers. We are led by the Spirit of God and by God's word. We are to give them his word. Praise God. Amen. And we are to let them know that wherever you are right now, you don't have to remain there. Hallelujah. God will set you free. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Are you still with me? Praise God. So Christ lives in us to use us, amen, for his glory. Let him live through you. Let him touch somebody else's life through you. Hallelujah. When I get to heaven, when I stand in his presence, I want him to say to me, yes, I do. I want him to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Man may not like you. That's okay. Man may not be pleased with what you do or what you say. But what's really important is God pleased with what you do and what you say? And how you conduct yourself. I want him to say to me, well done, son. You've been faithful. Amen. Well, like I heard somebody say one time, he says, I want God to say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He says, but, you know, what I don't want him to say, I don't want him to look at me and say, well, what's your excuse? Amen. No, I don't want that either. I want him to say, well done. And you know what? I believe you do too. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's just make a commitment that we're going to be good ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you may say, well, I don't know how to be an ambassador. I want to be a better ambassador. Listen, he'll teach you. Amen. He'll teach you. Praise God. You stay in the word of God. Amen. You stay in prayer. You build your faith, and God will use you for his glory. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. And also, we talked about the fact that this life we live by faith. This is a faith walk. Excuse me. This is a faith walk. Hallelujah. And we talked about the fact that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must be willing to walk by faith, not by what we see, not by how we feel, but we walk by what he has said in his word. We walk according to his instruction to us. And if you're going to walk according to his instruction, you got to first find out what the instructions are. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to take you to the book of Mark. Turn there with me. And I hope you have your Bible. I hope you have your Bible. Praise God. Or you your tablet with the Bible on it. Mark, excuse me, Mark chapter 5. And I just want to, we're just going to go down chapter 5 a little bit. Excuse me. Amen. And while you are still turning there, if you are, I'm going to get some water. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 35. Now, again, we live this life by faith, all right? We live this life by faith. We must believe God. Hallelujah. So now, in Mark chapter 5, at verse 35, it says, while he being Jesus, was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, well, no. Let me stop right there. I think I want to back up a little bit. I'll tell you what, let's back up to verse 21. Mark 5:21. We'll do that. Now when Jesus had crossed, over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Wow. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. Now, notice what it says here. Now, this is one of the rulers of the synagogue. Let me read verse 23. Grab a hold of this. It says, he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. She was near death. And he told Jesus, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Now, you notice something here. He was exercising his faith. Jesus, if you come and lay your hands on my daughter, which is near death, which is at death's door, Jesus, if you lay your hands on her, she will live. Verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, right now I'm just going verse by verse on this because this is so good. Now notice, Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house. He's on the way to Jairus' house. But now there's a woman in the way. Now I wonder how Jairus felt about that. Okay, but let's read on. Verse 25 again. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes. Uh-oh. Here's another act of faith. Now, Jairus said, if you'll come and lay your hands on my little girl, she'll live. Now, this woman that had a flow of blood for all these years, gone to the doctors, and rather than getting better, she grew worse. But she said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be made well. She didn't say, I'm going to touch his clothes. I hope I get healed. I'm going to touch his clothes and maybe I'll get healed. No. That's not what she said. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, here's a woman that had gone to the doctors all these years. Her condition grew worse and she had every reason to be discouraged. She had every reason to throw in the towel. She had every reason to give up. Now, I know for a fact, I know in my spirit, let me say it this way. I know in my spirit that there's some of you watching me right now, and there are also some of you that's going to be watching this video a little later. You are at the point of frustration in your own life. It just seems like nothing is changing. You've done everything you know to do, and things still remain the same. And maybe in some of your cases, things have grown worse. Well, you need to go. I would encourage you to go to Mark chapter 5 and read about this lady with the issue of blood. Because I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is still the same. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Excuse me just a minute. Hallelujah, glory to God. Woo, yeah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not seeing much happen. Well, what about your faith? This woman could have threw in the towel and said, forget it. I've been to all these doctors. I've gone through all this. My body is still not healed. And I'm just fed up. I'm tired. I'm quitting. I'm giving up. No, she did not. She made her way through a crowd. She made her way through a crowd. The crowd would have turned some folks away. But she was determined that she was not going to let anyone or anything keep her from touching Jesus. Oh, I need to say that again. She was determined that she was not going to let anyone or anything or any condition keep her from touching Jesus. Oh, we need to reach out and touch Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, glory. So now let me read verse 28 again. For she said, now I know she said something. She said something. Jairus said something. She gave words. She put words to her faith. She said something. She said something. Jairus said something. You lay your hands on my little girl, she'll be healed. This woman said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Hallelujah. She had the right attitude. She had the right spirit. Jairus did too. She wasn't mad. She said, I'm just going to work my way through this crowd till I get to Jesus, then I'm going to touch his clothes, and I'm going to get healed. And whatever sacrifices I have to make, I'm going to make them. I might get stepped on. I might get pushed aside, but I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on pressing till I get close enough to reach out my hand and touch his clothes. Glory to God. All right. All right. All right. Immediately, this is verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, you know, by law, she wasn't supposed to be in that crowd anyway. By the Jewish law, she wasn't even supposed to be there. But her faith overruled the law. Her faith overruled the law. Let me say it this way. Her faith in Jesus Christ was stronger than her fear of the Jewish law. Because she said, if I can touch him, I'll be made whole. I'll be healed. So when Jesus turned around and said, who touched my clothes? Now she's about to be exposed because she was just working her way through the crowd and she was going to touch his clothes and be healed. But virtue, power, flowed out of Jesus into her body. And Jesus felt it. He turned around. Who touched me? Who touched me? Verse 31. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? In other words, what they were saying is, Jesus, everybody close to you is touching you. We all bumping into one another. Amen. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Now get this. The woman had been caught now. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And this is what Jesus didn't say. Woman, you have broken the Jewish law. Stone her! He didn't say that. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. And this is what he said. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Now, you have to understand, while all this was going on, Jairus is still patiently waiting for Jesus to go to his house and lay hands on his little girl. Now, you know, I don't think the Bible says, but, you know, this was, would have been a good time for him to get fleshly and say, you know, and get upset at the woman. You know, woman, you're taking up our time. Yes, you got healed of your flow of blood, but my daughter's at death's door. After all, you are an adult. You have lived some. My daughter, she's still a child. But, look at verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, we have to ask ourselves, what would we have done? Jesus just told us, I'm going to come and heal your child. Now this woman interferes, and Jesus is taking up time with her. And he could have been a long ways down the road. Now, I haven't done the study on it. I'm not exactly sure how far Jesus was from Jairus' house. I'm not sure of that. But we do know he was delayed. But I like this. Let's read verse 35 again. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now look at verse 36. Oh, you got to get this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Oh, grab this, please. Please get this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Because Jairus, if you let fear come in right now, you're going to ruin everything. Don't allow fear to come in. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Remember, we talked about we are walking by faith. We live by faith. We're to believe God. We're to believe what he said. And Jesus said, don't let fear come in. Don't let fear come in. We read it in 2 Timothy 1:7 all the time. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. And Jesus was saying it right here. Jairus, that fear ain't coming from me. It's not coming from me. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what has he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God has given us. So Jesus was letting Jairus know, do not yield to fear. I know what they just said. Your daughter is dead. But don't fear. Remember your words. If you come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed. Glory to God. So Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Now listen, look what Jesus did. So, you know, folks, sometimes you just have to get rid of some folks. Even I'm talking about some Christians. So, you know, and I'm not talking about, just follow me on this, but sometimes not every Christian can be in on everything. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Jesus picked three disciples and no one else other than Jairus to follow him to the house. Because you know how folk can get sometimes. They're on the way to Jairus' house and folk just are talking. And Jairus is listening. Oh, my goodness, that child died. I don't know why we're going now. They need to go ahead and get ready for the funeral. You know, this is just a waste of time. Jesus could be going over here or over there and healing sick over there. Why are you reckon he's going to this dead girl's house? Well, honey, I don't know. You know, I can't figure it out either. Matter of fact, I'd rather go get something to eat. I'm hungry. You know, they're used to wasting time going to the Jairus' house, and they just told us the child died. You know, sometimes I just don't understand Jesus. I just don't understand him, you know. I just don't understand, you know, and Jairus is listening, you know, and all this negative talk going on, all this fear being generated. So Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. He wouldn't let anybody else come. Hallelujah. And those of you that are listening to me sometime, if your pastor tell you to sit this one out, don't get offended. Just go ahead and sit it out. I'm sure he has his reason. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Because we know some folk talk too much about the wrong thing. Now, verse 38. Hallelujah. Verse 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, can you imagine some folk today? They would say, uh-oh, Jesus just lost it. I'm looking at the child. The child is dead. The child is not sleeping. And Jesus come in here and said that the child is dead. Maybe he needs some food. Maybe he need to get some rest. Y'all, but look. Look, the child is dead. Well, let's read on. And they ridiculed him. But guess what Jesus did? This is get out of the way part two. Get out of here part two. And they ridiculed him. This is verse 40. But when he had put them all outside, he put them all out. Well, why would Jesus be so cruel? Jesus loved them. He loved them so much that he put them outside with their doubt and their unbelief. He still loved them through it all. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Hallelujah. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. Amen. And I'll just stop right there. I'll read verse 43. He says, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and he said that something should be given her to eat. Let me tell you something as I get ready to close this evening. Don't let anyone or anything hinder your faith in God's word, hinder your faith in what he has said. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you hearing me this evening? Stand on his word. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you, this happened and that happened, and I tried this and I tried this. Stop. Make a decision that you are going to believe God's word. You're going to believe what he says. Amen? You're going to believe him. You're going to walk by faith, and you're going to watch your mouth. Amen? Wherever you are right now, if someone is sitting or standing beside you, lovingly and gently, that is, if it's someone you know. If it's someone you don't know, you might want to keep your mouth shut. But if you're standing by someone, lovely and gently tell them, please watch your mouth. Because your words are powerful. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Jairus said, come and lay your hands on my child, which is at death's door, and she'll be healed. And when the report came that the child had died, Jesus said, don't fear. Don't fear. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe what you just said to me earlier, that your child will live. Only believe. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I prayed and this happened, or my child didn't live, or whatever. Well, don't beat yourself up over that, and don't get mad at God. You just keep on building your faith. You just keep on developing your faith. Listen. Don't get caught up in what you may see as failures of the past or faith failures of the past. Don't get caught up in that. You focus on God and you continue to develop your faith in him, because the fact of the matter is, if you are born again, you are born again because of your faith. Amen. That day in 1969, when I received Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior, I didn't know anything about faith. But Billy Graham told me through the airways that if I'd asked Jesus to come in, he said he would come in, he would save me, and he would forgive my sin, and he would become my Lord and Savior. Guess what? I believed him. And I did just that. And I was exercising my faith. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but that's exactly what I was doing. I was exercising my faith, and I believed that Jesus came into my life and set me free, saved me. And I knew, and the Spirit of God bore witness with my spirit. Well, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? I just know on the inside of me, not necessarily in my head, I just know on the inside of me a change took place. Something happened on the inside of me, and I knew that I was born again. See, that was an act of faith. I took God at his word. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let me pray for you right now. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ as your Lord.